Good morning. Good to see you out this morning. If you could please open your Bibles to 2 Peter, chapter 1, second epistle of Peter. We'll begin our reading here in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides all this, giving all diligence, and then we'll skip to verse 12, please. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And then as well, we'll just turn over to chapter 3 of 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So this morning I would like to speak to you about diligence in our Christian walk. The Lord has challenged me in my own personal life just to be diligent for him. It's things that I'm learning and I am growing in myself, and I want to share those with you. It's not that I know them all the way or have them down pat, but I'd like to encourage you as well and challenge you with the things that I've been learning. And for us, we all know that it's a lot easier just to be lax and just to sit back than it is to be diligent in something. It takes effort. It takes work to be diligent. But Peter challenges us here, and our Lord wants us to be diligent in our walk with him. So we'll go through this. First of all, I'd like to think about being diligent to remember. And I was really encouraged this morning with the songs that Dan chose. I want you to, first of all, to remember how God saved us. And if the songs that were sung this morning, especially how he ransomed me. There's a sweet and blessed story of the Christ who came from glory just to rescue me from sin and misery. He in loving kindness sought me, and from sin and shame hath brought me, hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. And it's important for us to remember how God saved us. If we're going to be diligent in our walk as believers, we need to have a mind that is reflecting and reminded of where we've come from and what God has brought us from. And as we are reminded of these things, then it's going to encourage us to move forward. Paul challenged the Ephesians, or he wrote to the Ephesians, and he wrote a verse in chapter 2 there. There's three verses. He says, wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise. And notice these words, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We were Satan's possession. We were bound by Satan's captive chains. We were guided by his artful treachery. And we were hurrying on to endless pain. There was no hope. We were without God in this world. But we can praise God that he saved us out of that. He bought us back. And he sent the Lord Jesus to pay for us. Lord Jesus gave his own precious blood. And as I think of someone giving their life for us, that's what we gather this morning to remember. Our Savior. And we think that it was his blood. That really ought to make us think. It ought to make me stop and remember and to think about the cost of it. It ought to make me want to be diligent in my Christian life because someone was willing to give their life for me. And as we remember the death of the Lord Jesus, when we gather every Sunday morning, it's because he's commanded us. And it's good for us because if we don't take that time to remember, we will quickly forget. And the Lord Jesus knew that. And it's the same with anything as in our spiritual life. When we have things on our mind, if we don't take time to think about them, they become, they just kind of fade in our minds. And it's going to be the same thing if we don't take the time to remember the Lord Jesus and his death for us and what he has saved us from, then it's just going to become less in our minds. It's not going to have the same importance. It's not going to have the same effect on our life. And we ought to take that time to gather with believers every week to be encouraged and to remember. Satan, of course, wants to take that down. But if we let the remembrance meeting go, if we let the remembrance of our Lord Jesus go, we're really letting go of our foundation as what we are as believers, because without Christ, we are nothing. Next, I'd like to think about remembering the things he has taught us. And it's easy for us to grow and to start well as believers, and we get excited about the things we're learning, the things God has been teaching us. And then after a while, after a few years, we kind of forget those things, what they meant to us when we were younger. And unless we're taking time to read God's word and reflect on it, we're gonna lose the importance of that. And I was encouraged when I was listening to Noelle and Christy share some of the things that God's been teaching them lately. And I thought, yeah, I remember learning some of those things. I remember being excited about them. But I've kind of forgotten. I know them, and I know they're important, but I haven't really been just thinking about them the same, because I've known them so long, and they've always been a part of my Christian life. And I want to challenge you to take the time to think back, what has God taught me and taught you in your spiritual walk with him, and just to be encouraged in that. And then we also need to take the time to remember what this Christian life is all about, why we are walking this Christian life. And why did we start out this Christian life anyway? What is it about? What are we here for? And, you know, if we're doing something and we don't know why we're doing it, we're going to quickly lose interest in it. It's going to become discouraging, because there's no real purpose to it. But we need to remember, again, what we were saved from and what we were saved to. And that ought to make us excited about this Christian life. And we need to remember that it's Christ that gives us the joy of living. Then I also want us to think about being diligent to persevere. Perseverance isn't always easy. Of course it isn't. It's when things are hard, when things are tough, that we need to persevere. And it's one thing to start a race, to start out well, to have a goal in mind. And if you would compare it to a long-distance race, it's easy to start out running well, be excited to run, and be sure of your mark. But it's quite another thing once you've started running and been running for a while, and you quickly become tired. And sometimes just putting one foot ahead of another, it can feel like that takes all the concentration you have and all the effort that there is. And that's when we need to persevere, when we need endurance, when we need to keep on going. And it can be the same in our spiritual life. We get saved and we're excited and we're thankful for what the Lord has saved us from. But as we keep on going day by day, as we walk on through each day, we can just get distracted with things around us. And you can be sure that Satan is going to send in hard times to try to slow us down, to distract us from the Lord. And that's when we need to persevere and keep on going. William MacDonald said something that I'd like to read it for a minute. He said, "Self-control should be supplemented with perseverance, that is, patient endurance of persecution and adversity. We need to be constantly reminded that the Christian life is a challenge to endure. It is not enough to start off in a blaze of glory. We must persevere in spite of difficulties. The idea that Christianity is an unending round of mountaintop experiences is unrealistic. There's the daily routine, the menial task, the disappointing circumstances, the bitter grief, the shattered plan. Perseverance is the art of bearing up and pressing on in the face of all that seems against us." And that's so true. If we let go of that, if we start wandering, it's gonna leg us down. And if when you're running in that long distance race, if you begin to feel tired and if you decide you're going to start walking, it's a whole lot harder to start running again. It's better off to keep on running. Once you start to slow down, it's harder to catch up again. And of course, we have to be alert as we go through the day by day. And Peter warns us of this, be aware. And we need to stand diligently against Satan's attacks. And I like how Paul wrote, he wrote in Ephesians 6, in two verses there, at the end of verse 13 and the beginning of verse 14 of chapter 6 in Ephesians, he says, "And having done all to stand, stand therefore." And there'll be times in our lives and in our Christian walk where it's hard to stand, and that's all there is. We must stand. But of course, we can't stand in our own strength or in ourselves, and that's why we need to persevere in His strength. And if you would go back to Ephesians 6 and read more of what Paul said there, he said in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." So, you see, it's not us. It's not of my abilities, but it is God who gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter does make this very clear in chapter 1 there that God gives us everything that is required to live a godly life. And it's God that worketh in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So we are to persevere in His strength, not our own. But also we have to realize that just because God gives us the strength to persevere, we need to put that into action. We need to persevere. He's given us the tools, but we need to take those tools and use them. And we can't just kind of kick back our heels and sit down and wait for God to do everything for us. We need to be using what He has given us. And that's in the hard times as well as the easy times. We need to rely on Him. Then we need to persevere and be diligent in our perseverance for God's glory. And that's what it's about. We need to go on and have a consistent striving forward toward the goal. And it's as we are faithful in our daily walk as believers that we will bring honor and glory to God. When we persevere and move forward for the Lord, it brings Him honor and glory. Because those around us will realize that it's not of us, it's not our own strength that we're relying on. We're going in what He has given us. And those that don't have the Lord in their life, the sinner that is seeking, will see that there's a difference in our hearts. And they'll want to know what it is. And it'll provide us with an opportunity to, again, honor and glorify God through this. And people are going to then wonder why in this world we would esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Then we need to be diligent to look ahead. And with such a blessed hope in view, we would more holy be, more like our risen, glorious Lord, whose face we soon shall see. Looking ahead despite opposition. And Peter talks about that there's going to be scoffers coming. And we see them, and they make fun of the Lord's return. And, of course, they believe that since nothing has happened, nothing will happen. And, of course, too, they don't want to believe in the Lord's return because that means consequences for them. And they don't want to repent and change their way. They don't want to have judgment for what way they are living. So they're going to present opposition to us. And Satan's going to try to oppose us as we look forward to the Lord. And the world has lots of ideas about the end of this life and the end of the world. And, of course, they don't match up with what the scripture is. But we can't let this distract us. We can't let the world distract us and take us away from our focus on eternity. We have to be diligent in this. We have to look ahead, looking unto Jesus, not just the author, but also the finisher of our faith. We can't be letting Satan try to misguide us with all his allurements and all the best he can offer. We have to look ahead because that's where we're going. And we know that the Lord will lead us through to the end. Also, we want to be diligent to look ahead, because it encourages us forward and purifies our goals. And when the things we are aiming for and looking forward to really have an effect on the way we live, the goals we set are going to have a bearing on where we go. And so we need to be focused on eternity, looking ahead to Christ. We know that verse in Matthew says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And are we laying up treasures here on earth, or are we laying up treasures in heaven? Remember that famous quote by Jim Elliot, who said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And that's so true. In our lives, we need to be not focused here on eternity. We need to have our goals ahead in eternity, not here on this earth. We need to realize that this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. And all that around us is going to be burned up. It's going to all go up in flames and smoke. And if we're wasting our time here, putting our energies into things here on earth and building our castles here, it's just going to go up in smoke. There's not going to be anything left of that. Only what's done for Christ will last. We know that what we look forward to is eternity, where there'll be no more pain and no more sorrow. And that will help us have goals that are set for eternity as we realize what is here and what is there. We don't know when the Lord will return. He has promised that he's coming quickly. And that's why we must be ready. Are you ready? Are you watching? That was a challenge to my own heart. And what am I spending my time with? What am I doing day by day? Am I ready for the Lord's return at any moment? If I am looking forward to the Lord's return at any moment, that's going to have a real effect on the way I'm living. Because I'm not going to want to live for something that's wasting my time if I'm expecting the Lord to appear. But, of course, we can so easily get distracted and taken up with the things of today and the things that Satan offers us. But we don't want to. That's why we need to be diligent in these things. Peter wrote it very well in verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? And that's true. We know that we reap what we sow. If we sow to this life, to this flesh, we are going to reap of this flesh. That's why we want to be sowing to the Spirit. We can, as we look ahead, we can look like that runner, and we can look forward to the end of the finish race. And when we look ahead to the end, that's going to give us the strength to put the steps one foot ahead of next, because we can see the end, and that's why we're running, and that's where we're going. But we need to keep looking ahead, because the best is yet to be. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 9. And as we start thinking about where we will be, it ought to make us excited. It ought to give us a real joy and a real desire to be firm and strong and diligent in our Christian life, not to get distracted. And we know that there'll be no more sin, no more death, crying or tears or heartaches or pains, because former things have passed away. But even more than just what won't be there, we have to look forward to is who will be there. And that'd be the Lord Jesus. And when we get there and get to see him face to face, see the nail prints in his hands and the spot where the soldier pierced his side, I know that will be a wonderful day. And that's what we need to be looking forward to. It's coming, and right now we look, as it were, through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Just like a bride looks for her bridegroom, and that ought to be the excitement and the longing in our heart, to be excited to see the Lord Jesus, the one who saved us. He saved us by his grace. All the golden streets in heaven will be amazing to see. But when we see our Savior, that's really what it's going to be about. And that's why we ought to be living a Christian life, is to please him and live for him. Soon this race will be over, and soon our time here on earth will end. But of course, only what's done for Christ will last. And yes, the best is yet to be. So what a day, glorious day that will be. So those were the thoughts that I had on my heart this morning. I hope they were an encouragement and challenge to you. I wonder if we could sing a song in the Black Book, number 262. My rest is in heaven. 262.